And there was a Jewish man, Perek Beis, Pasuk Hey. As we move on to the Havdalah portion of Megillas Esther. Ish Yehudi Hayah B'Shushan Habira. In a seeming non sequitur, we have the king being advised by the young guys, I guess they would know, to have a beauty contest to find a new wife who's not going to be threatening, who's not going to be like Vashti, who's not going to say no. Whichever Na'ara Asher Tita B'nei Melech Timloch Tachas Vashti. So Ish Yehudi Hayah B'Shushan Habira. There was a Jewish man in Shushan Habira, Rabbi Soloveitchik points out. There were many Jewish men in Shushan, but there was only one who proclaimed the doctrine of total and unqualified commitment of the individual to the community. A Yehudi, a Jew with commitment, determination, and a sense of responsibility, ready to sacrifice, not embarrassed to protest in front of the royal palace. An intelligent, knowledgeable, dedicated Jew, determined to perpetuate the great heritage he had brought along from Yerushalayim, which is the spirit in which he raised his orphan niece, as we are going to see. So there's an Ish Yehudi, a Jewish man, a unique kind of Jewish man in Shushan. Shmuel Mordechai, some of the Korain types put an extra Mordechai, but Mordechai is how I was raised to pronounce it. So Mordechai was his name. Ben Yair, Ben Shim'i, Ben Kish Ish Yamini, the son of Yair, the son of Shim'i, the son of Kish. Ish Yamini, a man of Binyamin. That could also mean a man of the right, of the right hand. Now, in fact, the genealogy doesn't exactly line up. Rabbi Norman Lamb points out, the Chazal are puzzled. It's impossible. There are many more generations between Mordechai and Kish. There are actually 9 generations, not 4. Kish is important not just as an ancestor of Mordechai, but an indicator of his character, Shehikish, that he would knock on the doors of tefillah, which were then opened for him. So when he davened for Klal Yisrael, he forced his way through the gates of prayer, accepting the burden of national leadership. So all of the different Mepharshim point out that he had a tremendous commitment to Klal Yisrael and to leading Klal Yisrael, and that's one thing that qualified him. It is interesting that B'nai Yosef, I gave a shiur on this, we were talking about Yeravam ben Nevat a while back. B'nai Yosef don't actually get to be the king. They're the Mishneh LaMelech. Mordechai's going to be the vizier, but he's not going to be the king. Yosef was the right-hand man of Paro. Yeravam ben Nevat took over as king and wasn't supposed to, at least not for the time that he did. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried to talk him down off of his fancy throne, but he betrayed his heritage and his people's character by being a Ben Rachel who insisted on being in charge, and that doesn't always go well, as we know from Shaul HaMelech. Vav, and Eichat Rav Neu Asher Hagla Yerushalayim, who had been exiled from Jerusalem, in Hagola Asher Haglasa, as part of the exile that had been exiled, Im Yechaniah Melech Yehuda, with Yechaniah, the king of Yehuda. So this is some 11 years before the main Churban and exile of the Jewish people. So he was expelled early, laying the groundwork, a member of the Anshei Knesset HaGadola, there in Bavel before the rest of the Jews arrived. Asher Heglon Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, who had been exiled by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Zayin Vayhi Omein Es Hadassah, he Esther Bastodo. And he raised, had brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, the daughter of his uncle. And we know the Jewish tradition that they had been married and that he gave her up to go to Achashverosh, but the Pashto Pshat of the text doesn't really imply that, just that she's a female relative without any resources, ki ein la av va'im, because she did not have a father or a mother who were alive. And those are key words because we said before that's what Achashverosh is sending his satraps out to go look for. And the young woman was finely featured and beautiful. And upon the death of her father and mother, when they died, Lekacha Mordechai lo levas. And Lekacha, a lashon of kicha of marriage, is where the Midrashic idea comes from, that they were somehow married together. But Mordechai adopted her as his daughter is the the Pashta Pshat, the easy reading of what the Pasuk is telling us. Hadassah, was that her proper name and Esther was later? Was Esther the proper name? We do both in Jewish tradition when we name our daughters. Hadass from the beauty of the myrtle. Esther from Estahar, as beautiful as the moon, Rashi says. The Hadass, the Medrash says, has a sweet smell but a bitter taste, and she was sweet to Mordechai and bitter to Haman. And again, Haster Astir Panai. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us in the time of the Tochacha that he's going to work through Hester Panim, Esther is the perfect name for the heroine of this story, and this is the Afhein Hoysu Hayu Ba'oso Anes, a big part of it. So he's part of the home. She's part of his life. But Ches Vayihi Bihi Shama Dvar HaMelech Vidoso, when the king's bidding was heard widely, and his decree, Uvikaves Naros Rabos El Shushan HaBiroth, and when many young girls were being brought together to Shushan, the capital, El Yad Hegoi, under the charge of Hegai, the keeper of the harem, Vatilo Kach Esther El Beis HaMelech, and Vatilo Kach implies not with her will. Mordechai tried to hide Esther, the Yosef Lekach says, but ultimately she was found and she was taken there by force, like so many of the young women. El Beis HaMelech, El Yad Hegai Shemer HaNashim, to the palace, to the royal palace, under the charge of Hegai, the keeper of the harem, the keeper of the women. So Esther has been revealed. Hester, the hidden beauty, the hidden gem of the Jewish people in Shushan, has now been discovered, taken over to the harem, but not yet at the point where she's going to be a concubine. That is going to come later.